going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The draft is over, and let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Our friend Jonas Schaefer, IA Hall of Famer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He joins us now. So, Jonas, the draft in the books. You've had a little time to let it marinate. What do you think of this 11-person draft?
Boy, that's a complex question. I think they definitely took some swings. They definitely made some news.
Yes.
You know, I am firmly of the opinion that anyone trying to give a grade to any draft class is just kind of playing with fire. I certainly will seek those grades out because I enjoy, you know, interrogating people's process and seeing how they think and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I do think they'll definitely come away from this draft with a couple starters. And I think the fact that they had, you know, they put themselves in a position where they were able to make 11 picks. Just, you know, kind of speaks to the smart process that Eric DaCosta pursues. But there were definitely questions that I had about certain players' fit and other players' character.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the character aspect of it, Jonas. Mike Green, seen as a top 20 talent, he fell to the Ravens at pick 59. He was accused of sexual assault twice, but not convicted or any of that.
Not charged.
What did you? Were you surprised by that selection in the second round?
Yeah, I was. I was absolutely surprised just because of everything that the Ravens have found themselves in and everything that we know, you know, the Ravens have pursued. I mean, you know, when I did a breakdown of the potential first round targets, there were so many people that I just thought they wouldn't take. Mike Green was among them. James Pierce was among them because of the issues that, you know, the red flags that surrounded these guys. So the fact that he was still on the board at 59 was surprising because I thought that, you know, less risk-averse teams would have snapped him up. But I guess the Ravens thought that he was, you know, worth their appetite. And, you know, I should say that, you know, I did talk to some people and they were, who you know, have familiarity with his background and they sung nothing but praise for the guy. And, you know, obviously I'm willing to give him a chance, just like the Ravens are willing to give him this big opportunity. But, you know, certainly the fact that he has this background and it's just not a one-time thing does raise some alarm bells. But, you know, the Ravens certainly did their homework, and we're going to try to do our own homework and see if that matches up, because if it doesn't, then this is going to blow up spectacularly for the Ravens and for Eric DaCosta.
Well, that's sort of where I was going to go. Like, when they do something like this, which is a lot of other teams right up through 58 picks or whatever, were like, juice not worth the squeeze, and it is for them. then like this kid's got to be a player, right? Otherwise, why the hell are you, you know what I mean? Why the hell are you doing this if you didn't think he could make you better instantaneously? Like the only reason you do this is because you think he's going to be a thing for you, right? So he's got to be like you've got to make him an impactful football player to justify the risk. And then you've also got to make sure that you do your part in so much as any organization can to also have him walk the walk in a way that puts him beyond reproach, no?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, we are living in a society that's willing to overlook any misgivings that they have with players if they produce. I mean, how many people were talking about what, you know, Jalen Carter was involved with at Georgia?
Yep.
How many people even now bring up the reasons why Tyreek Hill fell as far as he did in the draft, you know, when that Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill partnership was in its heyday. I don't think anyone was talking about the fact that Tyreek Hill allegedly put his hands on his girlfriend. And, you know, it just, you know, we're living in a society where things are bad until they're not. And it's sad for me because, you know, I know a lot of women who've been involved with very, very bad situations, and it's just tough for me to talk about. But I understand that this is a business, and I understand that, like, I could just choose not to cover the NFL, but no matter where you look in society, there are horrible things happening. And it's just people's appetite for that kind of stuff is, you know, tells you a lot about them. And
No, I feel you. I'm talking to Jonah Schaefer from the Banner. So I'll ask the other touchy question. They draft a kicker, but they have not released Justin Tucker. They admitted what I told these guys was the case, that Justin Tucker was coming up, showing up to work, because there's nothing to stop Justin Tucker from showing up to work in their facility. Is this a kicking competition? Do these guys slug it out through the summer? Because we know even if Tucker gets suspended, that wouldn't kick in until the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a kicker competition until the day that the NFL announces its investigation is over. I mean, you know, I think we have independently heard that basically everything that we've reported has been what the NFL has found. But I don't know what that means for the timetable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how far along they are. You know, if you're talking about the progress bar of this investigation, I don't know if we're at 2% or 98%.
Yeah.
And that means that we could be clamoring for, you know, Justin Tucker to talk. The Ravens certainly had no interest in us talking to Mike Green over this weekend, which is a whole nother matter.
Yeah, that's interesting, huh? No Mike Green sound. Huh?
Yeah. So, you know, we're obviously having the rookie minicamp on Sunday. I think the expectation is that he's going to talk, which is obviously, it suits the Ravens' needs far more than it suits our needs, because we would have liked to have talked to him, you know, over the weekend. But back to the kicking situation. I mean, I do think that when Tashi Brown was saying that the Ravens were going to ride this out with the investigation, that he was being sincere. So, you know, obviously they're going to get the heads up before we do, when exactly that timetable is finalized. But, you know, I've talked to you guys before. The NFL does not really tend to be super, super quick when it comes to turning things around. And if the timetable for a, you know, one accusation situation was like 6 to 9 months, then I don't know why we should expect this to be resolved with any kind of speed or, you know, just quickness. That's just not how the NFL does it, no matter who's asking.
Josh, before we let you go, I did want to ask you this. Teddy Buchanan, who looks like a freak athletically, and frankly never heard of him before they drafted him, but you're a guy that loves analytics and metrics. Are you as intrigued by him as I, and was there any other day three pick that intrigued you? Other than the kicker, of course.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I'm interested to look at what he has on film. you know, obviously, like, not a whole lot of you know, All-22 film out there. I thought it was funny that when I did start looking at the All-22 of his game against Syracuse, I think it was, where he had like 12 or 13 tackles. Literally the first play that's in that all 22 is him getting pancaked on a run play, which is like, yeah, I guess that kind of lines up with why he fell. So it's going to be interesting just to dig in. As for the other guys, you know, I think both the cornerbacks are interesting. I'm really curious to see just how quickly Carson Vinson can. I think that's his name, right?
The lineman.
Carson Vinson. Yep. Just how quickly he can develop into something, if he develops into anything at all. He's obviously got that great size. I think, you know, some of the clips from him at the Senior Bowl are definitely interesting. But, you know, you're obviously skeptical of someone who, if they couldn't really dominate at the FCS level, and he definitely didn't dominate, you know, as someone at his size maybe should have, then how quickly and how, you know, how productively can they perform at the NFL level? But, you know, we've seen guys who just didn't have access to good teaching or access to good nutrition. Once they find someone who can show them everything that they're doing wrong, suddenly things, you know, snap into place, and he seems like he's got a great head on his shoulders, and maybe all he needs is a change of scenery. And if that's the case, then the Ravens might have really, you know, uncovered a hidden gem.
Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Always great, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, guys. Great talking.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
The draft is over with, and Eric DaCosta filled a lot of holes, but what still needs some tweaking? We'll get into it next on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Well, Eric DaCosta certainly checked a lot of boxes with his 11 selections in the draft. You bring in Malachi Starks. That frees up Kyle Hamilton significantly. You get a pass rusher in Mike Green with a premium pick. You got three offensive linemen that you added to your depth, a couple of corners. You got one defensive tackle. So this roster now, post-draft, and I believe was May 1st or May 2nd, is the date where any unrestricted free agent you sign at that point doesn't count against the compensatory pick formula. So the Ravens will certainly continue to add to their roster. But just the areas that kind of jump out the most, and all in all, this is a pretty good roster right now. You're picking nits here, but defensive line's still a big one. And I think Eric DaCosta admitted as much, where if you would have told all of us prior to last Thursday that the Ravens would only get one defensive lineman, and on top of that, wouldn't draft a defensive lineman until the sixth round, I think all of us would have been pretty shocked. So you got Peebles, Matabike, Travis Jones, and Broderick Washington. But guys, the cupboard's kind of bare when you look at free agent defensive tackles, and not a ton of options there that you feel great.
Remember, they
were
in on Calais Campbell. He's now going to be helping develop Walter Nolan.
Yes.
One of my favorite guys in draft.
I mean, there's Taven Bryan, Jonathan Hankins.
Steelers just released that Montrevious Adams guy.
Quinton Jefferson's a year removed from a six-sack season, 13 quarterback hits, but there is not a lot of options at the defensive tackle position.
They had some money put aside for Calais Campbell. How much and how negligible it was, it remains to be seen. But, yeah, look, I think the defensive front still needs to be addressed here. And perhaps in a quasi-meaningful way, although to your point, again, at D-tackle particularly, there's not a whole lot of there.
Yeah, D-tackle's bare, but we've brought up in the past edge guys, the older guys, like a Matt Judon, as a Darius Smith. There's plenty of those veteran guys, and Eric DaCosta loves swimming in those waters. We talked a lot last week, you know, bringing in a Jadeveon Clowney, a Kyle Van Noy, a Justin Houston, Campbell at one point. He loves swimming in those waters, and there are plenty of options there. And I definitely would bring in one of them, even with Mike Green being here, because Ajabo, you got to make the team, man. You got to prove it during training camp. And then I think the other question I would say is, do you still bring in a vet at inside linebacker opposite Roquan Smith?
I don't feel that's as imperative. You're still developing Trenton Simpson. You feel pretty good about this kid you drafted. Could he at least be allergies. Could he at least be more than Trenton Simpson was last year? And then again, with Starks there, I think you can have an opportunity to play three safeties a whole lot more and get a linebacker off the field.
Dime packages a lot.
I think if they don't bring in a veteran, I think they're telling you that they will do that with the extra flexibility having Starks, like you said, Jason. And they piecemealed that position a ton last year with Malik Harrison and Chris Board down the stretch. But outside of those three positions, I mean, you feel good about corner, you feel good about safety. The offense has been set for a while. Maybe you add a veteran lineman, but you drafted three guys there.
Yeah, they might add a veteran tackle.
Linval Joseph? Like, that's kind of interesting. Like, if you're looking for a body.
Yeah.
He's like 36.
I know he's 36. How old is Calais Campbell?
I know.
But he's going to be a rotational guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. But they definitely, D-line.
Try to see what he's listed as these days. He's listed at 325. I bet you Linval Joseph's bigger than that.
I think that's very kind. Yeah.
Their list is saying, Football Reference is saying 6'4", 323. I think the 6'4 is accurate.
Yeah, you're not going to fudge the height. No. Not in football.
No.
But maybe in the NBA.
But D-line's definitely the one that jumps out the most.
Yeah, I'd expect to see. What about Jason, the kid the Steelers just cut, not the one that's going to retire, but the defensive tackle Adams.
Yeah,
he was due like $2.8 million or something like that. They cut him today. I could see if they need bodies, and Eric made it pretty clear. He volunteered it before anybody could ask him about defensive tackle. He's like, we need big wide bodies.
Odd that they didn't take one. It's just very odd to me that they didn't take somebody who had upside as a big body. Position versatile D tackle, because they were all over the place, and there were several that Bobby D loved at Maryland.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I was surprised. Now, they took the guard, Garrett Dellinger, with their seventh round pick, and I think they were betting that the Maryland other defensive tackle was going to make it through the draft, and then they'd sign him undrafted. But he didn't. He got drafted.
He got 11 picks. Yeah. Why are you being cute?
Yeah, I know.
But you've ignored that position. It's a position of strength. It's a kid right under your nose.
Yep. I think they were thinking they could get a twofer, Jason.
Outsmarted themselves?
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, Orioles start a three-game set against the Yankees. Are we watching the final days of the Brandon Hyde administration? What about Mike Elias? Time for some necessary roughness. Stuff's got to change. Next here on The Fan.
A few of his walks came around to score. I thought he threw the ball well besides the walk, you know, a couple two-out hits. But right around that, he had a really good fastball today, and walks are definitely hurting us on the mound. We had three guys hurt today, and we're not playing the best baseball right now, and we're walking too many guys on the mound. It's been rough. That's three good players that you don't have in the lineup, but injuries do happen, and you know, we faced a really good starter today. It's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and top two or three, if not number one. So I thought we created some traffic against them, just didn't get a big hit. Really difficult team to play. You know, it's a really, really talented team. It's the best pitching staff we've seen so far. We missed Job, and there's two, so... Tough team to score against and really balanced offensively. You know, we saw that a couple times last September and we played a lot of close games against them. We're going through a tough time right now and hopefully we can get out of this and start playing better baseball.
So that was Brandon Hyde after the Tigers swept the Orioles. They lost the third game by 7-0 score to Tereskubel and the Tigers. And since that 24-2 massacre on Easter Sunday, they have lost 6-7. The only win being a 2-1 win over the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, with the mighty Trevor Williams on the mound.
The Orioles have the third worst record in all of baseball. Only the White Sox and Rockies are worse, so... Is it time that significant moves need to be made?
Absolutely. Look, we can go back to their series with the Yankees last June when they went up to the Bronx and they took three or four from them and they whacked them around pretty good and they finished with a businessman special 17-5 thrashing of Luis Hill. I thought he was going to cry on the mound. It was almost like what the Ravens did to Brock Purdy the year before, unmasked.
Oh, yeah.
And the Orioles were tied for the best winning percentage in baseball. They had a 49-25 record. This is June 20th of last year. Since that point, they played 115 ball games. They're 52-63. Only the Pirates, Marlins, Nats, Angels, Rockies, and White Sox have fewer wins than the Orioles in that span. And pay close attention to those teams, friends, because that's who the Baltimore Orioles are clustered with in pretty much every meaningful category since last June the 20th. Orioles at home, including the playoffs since last June the 20th, are 24-31. Only the Rockies, Marlins, and White Sox have a worse home winning percentage than the Orioles since then. We know that they can't hit with runners in scoring position. What, 6 for their last 60? It was a problem down the stretch last year because it's a really inexperienced roster that might have some players who aren't as good as you think they are. And you let a switch hitter with 45 home runs walk for less money than you thought you'd have to pay to keep him. Well, since June 21st of last year, only the White Sox, who were the worst team in Major League history, and the Rays have a lower OPS, than the Orioles with runners in scoring position. Friends, this is 1,010 plate appearances. Since last June 20th, the Orioles have had 1,010 plate appearances with runners in scoring position, and their OPS is .664. Again, only the Rays and the White Sox are worse. We know they can't score more than 3 runs in a game, right? That's been a problem, certainly lately. The only team since last June 20th with more games of 3 runs or less than the Orioles. The White Sox, Rays, Rockies, Guardians, and Angels. A lot of these same teams keep cropping up. The Orioles are 7-49 when they score 3 runs or less since June 20th of last year. I'm going to repeat that. 7-49. Also, since the start of 2023, because teams that walk and get on base, that's supposed to help you produce more runs and keep you from being such a feast or famine offense. Since the start of 2023, the Orioles are 19th out of 30 teams in the majors with a .316 on base percentage. If you're looking for help from the bunch that's here right now, the Orioles team leader since June 20th of last year in OPS, Cedric Mullins, .861. Santander, who's gone, .821. McCann, who's gone, .804. Gunner, .795. Other notables, Jordan Westberg, .686. Oof. Jackson Holliday, 658. And Adley Rutschman's slash line since leaving the Bronx on June 20th of last year. He's got a 620 OPS. Adley has 9 homers and 34 RBIs in 103 games played since that series in the Bronx. Santander, by the way, 25 home runs since June 20th of last year. Sed has 17. Gunner has 17. Kowser has 16. Westberg has 11. O'Hearn has 10. That's 10 in 103 games. So if they're a home run reliant offense, and they are, the cavalry might not exactly be coming. The Orioles, since June 20th of last year, have the third worst ERA in baseball. Only the Marlins and the Rockies have a worse ERA in that span. Does that mean you're telling me the Chicago White Sox have a better ERA than the Baltimore Orioles since June 20th of last year? They do. It's considerably better. White Sox, 4.44. Orioles, 4.81. Almost a half run per game, worse than the White Sox. How about that? Yeah, they're also 23rd in outs above average fielding since the start of last year. That's 23rd out of 30 teams. Not good. They're fifth fewest stolen bases for the Baltimore Orioles in the major league since June 20th of last year. Adley Rutschman, the worst catcher throwing out runners this year,
throws
by the way.
Throws to the third base side.
91.3% success rate against Adley this year. So they can't field, they can't control the run game, they don't play small ball and produce runs that way, they can't hit in the clutch, and they've got the third worst pitching staff in baseball over the last 115 games. But yeah, just tell me it's a small sample size, tell me it's a fluke. No, this is exactly how they were constructed. This is the monster that Elias built. It should cost him his job, it should cost Brandon Hyde his job.
And we put out a poll in regards to that. Orioles 52-63 in their last 115 games. Can't hit, pitch, or field. Have the third fewest wins in 2025. What should happen, Birdland? Over 350 votes in. IA1057 The Fan is how you can vote on Twitter. Fire Elias and Hyde 51.4%. Just fire Hyde 24.4%. Do nothing 12.9%. And just fire Elias 11.2%.
When do you think we hear, if at all, from ownership on this whole thing? When somebody gets fired?
When someone gets fired. I don't think he's going to comment.
I told you guys, people started jumping on me last year in June when I started tweeting, the owner better be paying close attention because the emperor has no clothes and this is a sinking ship. And people are like, he can't get involved. No. The only person who could keep Mike Elias from continuing to Mike Elias up this franchise is the owner. He doesn't have to answer anybody else. His contract gives him such explicit powers over everything remotely related to baseball operations, from the Dominican Academy up to the lineups and the changes they make in any given moment to their roster. Like, the only person who could say, hey, Mike, enough's enough. The only person who could say, hey, we need checks and balances. I'm going to bring in this guy, this former GM, to work with you. And if you don't like that, you can go. Like, ownership has to be real. They have to stop being silly about this. They have to stop shooting people with water guns and throwing hats at people. They have to stop being running around with marketing gimmicks and the three-card Monty that they're playing right now. Don't look over here. Look at this. They got to stop playing with bobblehead dolls, and they better start restructuring the hierarchy of their franchise over in the warehouse because you were blowing it. You were wasting this. I've been saying it for a long time. It's never been true, more true than right now. Firing Brandon Hyde and replacing him with Robinson Chirinos or Buck Britton would be an absolute sham. And this is a franchise that's running a lot of shams right now and playing a lot of Ponzi scheme games. But thinking that's going to light a fire under a young team's ass or change anything or hold anybody accountable is ridiculous. The guy who created it is Elias, with his deeds and his words, talking these kids up. You know, nothing's ever a problem. Everything's fine. These things have a way of working themselves out. This is a guy who told you, when I call players up, they're going to be ready to help the major league team right now. That's a joke. Why do they suck so bad defensively? Because nobody ever played a certain position in the minors. Nobody got enough innings at the minors playing that position. Nobody dealt with much adversity in the minors playing that position because the next day they were somewhere else and it was out the window. Why do these pitchers break down? Well, yeah, it's baseball. They also piggyback guys. They never built people up in the minors the right way. They never pitched through adversity. This team has needed a kick in the ass for almost a calendar year, and their response to it was, let's get younger and dumber. Fire the GM.
Coming up next, the Yankees are in town. We preview this three-game series, a series that if it goes ugly, man, changes might be coming. That's next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I hope he can just bring a lot of things, honestly. I know one thing, he's going to compete every single time out, and he's one of the best teammates I've ever been around in a clubhouse. He pitched really well for us a couple years ago, had a nice year in St. Louis last year. He kept us in the game more times than not 2 years ago and was absolutely fantastic. So hope we get that version. I know we're getting an unbelievable person and a human being and a real leader and an adult in the room, I think, which is great.
That's Brandon Hyde speaking about an hour or so ago about the Kyle Gibson situation. Gibson currently on the taxi squad. They announced earlier today he's going to start for the Orioles against the Yankees tomorrow, making his Oriole debut this season, at least. A few more injury notes before I toss it over to you, Jason. This is according to Brandon Hyde from our friend Jacob Calvin Meyer from the Baltimore Sun. Jordan Westberg, day-to-day, not in the lineup tonight. They say, quote, "We're staying optimistic and hopeful." Grayson Rodriguez hasn't started throwing yet. Colton Cowser hasn't started baseball activity, but is, quote, "feeling better." Zach Eflin throwing second pen tomorrow. Kyle Bradish threw pen today, going well. Tyler Wells will throw pen Friday. And Andrew Kittredge to throw live bullpen on Wednesday.
All righty. Look, I think Kyle Gibson is all those things, but it's interesting. Like, I like to put on my decoder ring and, you know, sift through what I think is going through the skipper's mind. All this stuff about leader and competing and adult in the room. I think he's sending a message to the GM about the mess he handed him, about, you know, the pack and plays and the kitty palooza that he foisted upon him yet again without anybody to really regulate that clubhouse. O'Neill, who's not a leader and is only here as a mercenary. And God, I hope he's not here next year. He's hurt again because, of course, he's hurt. Like Gary Sanchez, I mean, I don't know. If there's a more useless major league player making real money, find him for me. What the hell is he going to say to anybody? I mean, could Kyle Gibson come in and maybe help Brandon Hyde regulate and hold people a little bit accountable and make it less of a romper room? Because, boy, it sounds like that's in order, because that's the only way that this GM knows how to build teams. Yeah, but like, again, I saw him pitch against the Mets high A Brooklyn Cyclones. Like, if you think Kyle Gibson's coming in here and he's going to give you even what Sagano's giving you right now with no spring training and no real buildup, I think you're fooling yourself.
Chasing is on the market deep into spring training. That tells you what the industry, what the MLB thought of him. Otherwise, he would have had
like
a
he's
job.
Definitely better than Charlie Morton. Like, yeah. I can tell you that unequivocally. But like, what does that even mean? I mean, what is that even really saying? And look, this is a Yankee team that's hot right now. They swept a doubleheader from Toronto. If you look at their splits, they're destroying the ball at home, and they're not hitting on the road. But boy, don't you think Camden Yards is pretty well built for that lineup? Like,
yeah.
They haven't had trouble hitting here in the past. And now they moved the wall that Judge was complaining about, got moved in.
To build a park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a feeling they're going to see the ball and hit the ball just fine. This will be a real test for Sagano. The Yankees, look, young Ben Rice is getting on base a ton for them. They're hitting him leadoff.
Looks like a real
like
player.
They're having quality at-bats. They're a much better defensive team than they were a year ago. And unfortunately, they demoted Devin Williams because Devin Williams can't get anybody.
No.
He is a disaster right now. And I was hoping
that trade when it happened.
Yeah,
he stinks.
Yeah, and they might still figure it out. There's a long time to go, but they took him out of the closer's role, which they had to do and which will probably help them if we get any close games in this series. But the Orioles teams, they got to compete. They got to fight. There's got to be some want and some will and some passion. They play a dispassionate, detached brand of baseball that, frankly, is hard to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And going up against this Yankees, I'm very interested in seeing Sagano tonight because he's been really good these past two outings, completing seven innings, but now it's a step up in play right now with the team tied for first in home runs. They're first in OPS, first in slugging, on base, all of that, second in runs. It's a step up in class, and I'm interested to see if he's going to meet it.
Orioles lineup, Cedric Mullins leading off in center field.
Thank God he's back.
He's leading off every day. Gunnar Henderson.
861 OPS since June 21st of last year. The team OPS like 670.
Gunner's second, playing shortstop. Adley Rutschman is your third hitter. He's the three hitter doing the catching. Ryan O'Hearn batting fourth at DH. Ryan Mountcastle, who is not hitting for power at all, is batting fifth at first base. Heston Kerstad in right field batting sixth. Ramon Urias batting seventh at third base. Jackson Holliday, he's at second base batting eighth. And Ramon Laureano in left field batting ninth.
I mean, you're going to tell me that Kobe Mayo couldn't give him what
Kobe
Ryan
Mayo should be
giving him? Like, I mean, if that's where the bar is with Mountcastle.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that we got a second baseman learning to play his position up here and a left fielder learning to play his position up here and a 1-1 catcher who can't control the run game at all. Why not just, I mean, like, Kobe Mayo can't give you what Ryan Mountcastle's giving you?
As bad as they are against left-handed pitching, Kobe Mayo needs to be here. Like, he can't be worse.
I mean, again, them not making any sort of move with him when he hit 30 home runs and they already thought Mayo was their first baseman in the future. It's pathetic. Oh, but the baseball gods will sort it all
maybe
out. And I got a pencil. Hey, billionaire, I got a pencil and I wrote out the next 5 years. I know what everybody's going to do.
Here's
got
the problem.
Got it all penciled out.
Jason, they didn't think he was their first baseman in the future because they never played him at first base.
I never got around to doing it, but trust me, they thought about it.
That stretch, by the way, brought up the tweet. In the last 115 games, Ryan Mountcastle has three home runs.
Dude, Adley has 9 homers and 34 RBIs since June 20th of last year. But God forbid he hits somewhere other than the top three.
Three home runs.
Draft is in the rear view. The Orioles are free falling. We'll get Cordell Woodland's thoughts on both next here on The Fan.